we will continue with our the Dhamma session. So suppose we 1:30 to 3, so we will have a puja followed by my briefing on the other essential Dhamma. So we will do the puja now. We will do the simple one, the Theravada one. But we start with Arahang Sama Sambuddho Buddhasa. Okay, compose your mind, develop your faith, then we will start. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Avivademi. Suakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhamman Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Sanghang Namami. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami. Panati patao eramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Adina dana eramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Kamesu michachara eramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Musawada veramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Suramiraya majapamadathanna veramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha and all the worthy ones. Before we start, I just want to share this before I forget. Just now, before I came in, I was passing by there. There is Brother Hung. He was with Sister Joyce, I think they were discussing some Dhamma. Then he told me, yeah, just now when I share with you all about sweeping leaf, he said he also came across some very good experiences and all those things, which was very good. Because nobody was taught about that. He said he swept. Then he realized that after he sweep, he saw the leaf fall. As he said, the leaf fall. So the leaf will fall. And then he understand, this is the reality. I cannot go against. I go against, I develop negativity on my anasana. I get angry. I not happy. Then I complain. Then he told me another incident which he recently developed the wisdom and understanding, which was very good. They were one group of, I think, Mahayana Buddhist people. So he got, I think must be one of the friend or same one, together they grew. So they were invited or they attend one of the, I think, similar type of, like lunch or that one. They all got certain event to commemorate something and then they have lunch. Then the place they eat there was like very noisy, you know. Sometimes you also know down there the canteen. Or when one start to talk, but if you maintain mindfulness, it's different. So he was, his friend was commenting to him, you know, said, you see, they all eat, like talk a lot. He said, back our place, very good, very quiet one. He said, then brother hung laugh. He said, not them. They all not, no problem. You inside got problem. So that is the Dhamma. They are like that because they have not trained. That is the way they do things. Why like that also your mind want to react and create this unhappiness or comment? That's why I say the thought, the mind, will keep on. Not to say you cannot say, but it becomes a habit. That's how habitual tendency come about. See something also got comment. Krishnamurti call it the egoic mind. Don't know how to see. And it cannot see. Because it like to use the thought to judge. You know what is judge or not? Right or wrong, judge. Then comment. Interpret. So all these are the reaction of the heedless mind, the mind that doesn't understand reality, that cannot come to accept the reality or whatever. So you ask yourself, if I meditate and I throughout the day daily life I still do that, do you expect your mind to be heedful and mindful? I ask you this question. Cannot. Sure cannot. So what must you do? That's why meditation is about developing wisdom. No, not just come here, retreat, and wow, very calm, very peaceful, very mindful. Then go back, repeat the same thing. Like that, you don't benefit much from retreat. But when retreat, like he attend my Wuping Jingse retreat very often. He listen, then he learn, then he know how to apply. And that become the Dhamma. Then when he apply, he will progress. Not only progress. When he see this Dhamma, he will have the condition to see the deeper Dhamma. And that is where you don't understand. So what happened is, I will explain to you. Let's say, he cultivate this. He start to understand that all problems start from inside you. Nothing wrong outside. The world is the world. Understand not? People are just the way they are. This is the reality I have to accept. Like birth, old age, sickness, and death, I have to accept. Separation, I have to accept. When with people whom you don't like, I have to accept. Then when things don't go your way, you also have to accept. You learn to accept first. Not to say you do nothing wrong. There's a lot of people comment on Buddhism. always let things be, you know, then people climb over their head. Let things be and accept doesn't mean you allow them to climb over your head and all of them. No. Let things be and accept them for what they are is to develop the peaceful mind from moment to moment. So every time you have this type of wisdom, whatever people do, even like Joy's case, the family member sometimes, they are your best teacher. Understand? Teacher means what? Because they are very close to you. Anything they say got more meaning than other people say. Understand? So if your loved one also you cannot react, what about other people? You also will not react. You will just smile because you have understanding. Then if really got condition, like Brother Hung, there is nothing wrong with them. What is wrong is inside you. Then you come to understand this very profound Dhamma. Means what? As long as I can have this wisdom, this wisdom, this understanding, then I will have more and more moment of peace. Correct or not? Correct or not? Every time I accept, I don't react, I peaceful. Correct or not? Sankara doesn't move. This is how you become more and more heedful, more and more heedful, more and more heedful. And then when this thing happens, then you understand life like that is a lot more peaceful, a lot more harmonious, and a lot more meaningful. And then what happened? Without you knowing, your mind has transformed from the habitual reaction and the heedlessness into a heedful way of living. This is daily mindfulness. This is Dhamma. That's why I say wisdom free you, nothing else. Then when you have more and more moment of mindfulness and heedfulness in daily life, where you react less, understand? As you react less, your mind trains itself to be at peace more and more, more and more, more and more. So with this transformation, that mind that is heedful now can see things that it cannot see last time. Understand? That's how I say it will lead you to the next Dhamma Dong. And then that time, you will come and tell me different things. Wow, brother, till one day, I don't know what happened. This mind is so mindful, so peaceful. Then suddenly, last time cannot see. Like the whole thing, phenomena just show up and let you understand profoundly that everything is like that. And the word impermanent is not the word anymore. Where he saw it directly in the reality of life. Means each and every phenomena, the moment of its arising, sustaining and passing away, that heedful mind, that silent mind is with it now. When you are with it, you will understand what I mean. You will awaken to it. Then you got a shock. Like there is a lot of joy and yet you shock. All phenomena like that one. Well, last time cannot see, cannot understand. People just talk impermanent. Thought come and go, feeling come and go. Oh, everybody can talk like that. It's knowledge. But see it in the meditation through the direct seeing without word, then you understand that is a different type of understanding. That one is wisdom. And that one, very profound. It transforms you completely. And you will understand the three characteristics very well. And it will go very deep. And then it opens up subsequent Dhamma Dong. Then when you read the text, the sutta, your sutta is meant for enlightened one or to be enlightened one. Then very easy to understand. Very meaningful now. Last time you cannot understand. So meditation, learning the Dhamma is like that. You need wisdom, nothing else. You need understanding to change your life, to transform your mind, and to develop the wholesomeness, the virtue inside you. So ultimately, all Dhamma point toward one thing. Goodness, wholesomeness, virtue. If after you do your fantastic meditation and you think you're enlightened, your virtue never improve, that is not the meditation that the Buddha teach. And you become more egoic. You cannot see your own ego defilement. The one that has the Dhamma, their mind is different. They think of others. They think of how can they help, be a blessing to all. Then when there is condition for wholesomeness, they will rejoice. They will send pure wish. They will have metta. They are very kind. But kind, not in the kind-hearted, full way, you know. Not everybody suffering, he will go and help, you know. No such thing, you know. He will see, got condition, he will rejoice, then he will send pure wish. And then, like I always say, that being who do that, means that Puttacana who do that, without them knowing, the enlightened one, the noble one, they already rejoice and send that pure wish. Then this Puttacana, I used to say, fatat already, fatat leo. Understand? Because that pure wish is very powerful. It will create the causes and condition for him or her to move in the future, or maybe immediately. And nobody will know one. Sometimes to the bird also, I did that to the bird. Because the bird, I was in Australia, the bird was very beautiful. Not to say I look at the beauty that I said, no. I was in Australia with some Australian friend, Dhamma friends, and I think another one or two Malaysians. Then they invite us to a place near the park there where we can sit down and relax. In Australia, it's quite common. Then they asked me Dhamma question. So as I was answering this Dhamma question, you know what happened? 10 to 12 of these beautiful white dove flew, came, stay there and listen. You can see them listening. They are not looking for food. No, there's no food there. Then I felt, I rejoiced. Then I sent, then we continue. Then people feel very strange. How come all these dove come here, not other place? Then later after I finish, I say, okay, you can go. They all fly off. But also can understand. Human being cannot understand. So you ask yourself, what is going on? Understand? So Dhamma sometimes is better to be a bird than a human. But these birds are not ordinary birds, I don't know. The 10 or 12 of them are beautiful white color ones. They just come on that. Then sometimes you really amazed by all this. Then in the Zen story also, there was one case. I think Master Sun Hua mentioned this in one of his books. I think some of you may have heard of this story. That's why you have to be very careful. He said, there was a Dhamma master who was very, what they call it, diligent. So he cultivated, so he thought he was already enlightened. No? So he started to teach. You know. He only wrong view a little bit only, you know, towards the end there. You know. So he was sharing, he was teaching everything. You know. Then one enlightened one passed by. You know. This one very young. He enlightened already. So he listened, he know. This one very pitiful. He thought he enlightened already, but not enlightened. He said, wrong view a little bit. But because of that wrong view a little bit, you can cause people to get lost or no. So you know what happened. This enlightened being just send pure vision. Hopefully, he will have the condition to receive the truth. And you know what happened? After that the one that teach slightly wrong on Daya, this one came out. Then he became a frog. A frog for very long. And every time he take birth as a frog, he will somehow be with this enlightened one. This enlightened one is a bodhisattva. So every time he will be there to listen to the Dhamma. Until he understands where he got trapped, that wrong view. Well, then only he realized how come he become frog for so many lives. And this one is a real story. You don't play a fool. Frog also can understand. You can say, can or be liberated. Frog, no. But this frog is a different frog. This one got a pure vision. That's why you want to become frog, so you must got good Kayanamitta who send you pure vision. So, during the Buddha's time, Jataka story you heard, Sakyamuni was born as a deer, as a lion, as an animal, elephant, But he always the leader of the pack, and he protect the pack. Understand? He has virtue even as an animal. That's why you can, if you aspire to be bodhisattva and become Buddha, you will have to take birth in every of these 31 plane of existence so that you can understand. Then there was one life when he was still a bodhisattva. He was a king. Then because a king gives instruction to cause many deaths, the next birth, he went down to hell for 60 or 1,000 years. Then after that, he was reborn as a prince again. Then after that, not long, the mother passed away. The mother became a deva. But the mother knew that the previous birth, he just came out from hell. So the mother talked to him. You know or not? You went down there because you were a king. So this life, you are going to become a king again. You want to have this repeated. The bodhisattva also knew, I don't want, but what can I do? My king, my father is so insistent that I take over the throne. So you know what he did? He pretend to be a useless person, like mentally retarded only, until the king also finally give up. Then towards the end, the king decide to fulfill that son's wish. The son just want to go somewhere else, not don't want to be a burden to the father. So actually the attendant took him out. But he was normal. He got no problem. The moment he's out in the forest, he meditate, he became enlightened. Then news travel, he became very famous. Then the father want to bring him back. He said, this time no more. This time, the spiritual path. So people who have this understanding, they can have this ability to know. Then when they come, they will know how to live. They will not be like before, deluded and all those things. So this is some of the sharing that I want to do before I forget. Okay, now we continue with what we were at this morning, page 2. Okay, this is a summary. In the recap, Brother Teo re-emphasized on this. You have to go back and read all this. I have repeated this many times already. The importance of understanding Dhammapada verse 1, 2, 183, 21, 22, 23. This one is in the email compilation. And the final advice of the Buddha before is parinibbana. He always say, strive on with heedfulness. Apamadena sampadeta. Okay. Once one comprehends this verse, one will understand the importance of training the mind to be heedful and ever mindful. You got the third Heart Sutta page or not? Everybody got? I saw a lot of people turning here, turning there. Third Heart Sutta page, we continue from this morning. All these Dhammapada verse points towards heedfulness. Avoid evil, do good and all those things. Dhammapada verse 1 and 2 is the twin verse. One lead to suffering, one lead to happiness. Then verse 183 is the advice of the Buddha. Verse 21, 22, 23 are the heedfulness centered Dhammapada saying. And the final advice of the Buddha is like I mentioned before he passed away, his parinibbana. He advised the monk only to do one thing. Strive on with heedfulness. Never be heedless. If that advice you don't take means difficult for you to progress. So in Pali, the Buddha pronounces apamadena. That's why it's from the word apamada. Apamadena sampadeta. Sampadeta is strive on with heedfulness. So once you comprehend this verse and understand its meaning, that's why this understanding is very important, that's why I say only wisdom free, then one will understand the importance of training the mind to be heedful and ever mindful. One will like wake up and see the danger of heedlessness, and one will be very serious about life to develop the cultivation. So in this retreat, you're supposed to see this and determine never to allow yourself to be heedless again. Understand? Understand or not? Until now, still didn't go in. Without heedfulness, you are as if dead, no? You are blind. You really, really will become miserable. The heedless are as if dead, no? And to be enlightened is so simple. Only need to be heedful. So difficult, man. The Buddha said, if you are heedful, you never die. You're destined for enlightenment. So difficult. To me, it's not difficult. It's so easy. To be heedful only. Why you worry about the whole Tipitaka so thick? How to study? How to understand? Now, last time I remember, Chui used to tell me, how to understand? One big volume. Why you go and read? Like the Buddha said, a handful of leaves. Just get the essence out of it. Like the newspaper. How many read all the newspaper? There's a hell of news inside there. The advertising, everything, and the comment, the pakwas, singer. You only need to read the headline and the essential one that you are interested in. For me, I look at the financial report a little bit. Then if there's a headline that interests me, so that I can keep intact with time and civilization. So I just read a bit, but most of it is not worth reading, understand? So when you understand the purpose of newspaper, you will understand your mind, understand? Your mind is like a newspaper, understand? You think a lot, all the pakwa thing also inside there. Not worth thinking also you think, because you react to so many things, you worry about so many things. That's why that type of life is heedless, understand? Whereas when you see that the problem is not outside, the problem is inside, it's you, understand? I always say, your life, you decide. If you choose to be happy, you will be happy. Correct or not? Then why are you not happy? Because you don't know how to choose. You always choose to become miserable. But your intention every time, I want to be happy. I want to be free from suffering. But everything you do is heedless, lead to suffering. So how to free? Understand not? The only way to free is to develop the understanding, to see the foolishness, to see your ignorance, to see your delusion, and admit that you are very deluded. You are very full of ignorance, very stupid. And then you start. Otherwise you think you're very smart, very intelligent, very wise. I tell you, very difficult to progress in the Dhamma. Where you think you know. When you already know how to teach you, understand? As a Krishna would say, the most dangerous person in this world is the person who say, I know. That one cannot help already. You should answer, I think I understand. Or I understand. When you understand, not so bad. When you think you know, finish already. Nothing to teach you. Everything you know already. But knowing may not be understanding. So life is like that. See the foolishness of being heedless. Then you understand clearly, then you determine not to be like that anymore. Okay? So that is the message. And to do that, you need heedfulness. Okay, the danger of letting these three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, which are the roots of all evil, or the three poison, from manifesting in your heart. That's why you have to root it out. Right effort to abandon all these evil roots. Understand? Your selfishness, your wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action. All this you have to right effort to abandon it when it has arisen. Then later on with the mindfulness, able to prevent it from arising. That is a very good progress. Then after that, you reflect and contemplate on the virtue, on the perfection, on all the goodness, kindness, gentleness. Then you right effort to cultivate them, understand? Cultivate the goodness, the wholesomeness, the virtue that is still not in you. You have been selfish, do the ennobler of generosity and all those things. Then learn to be generous. Learn to be like gentle, pleasant, of help to people, of service to people. without selfishness, service above self, then you will have all the what they call good virtue like gratitude, contentment, respect, then feel for people, sensitive and all those things. Then there is this goodness of heart, to always be of blessing to all. Not always think of gain, selfishness and all those things. Then never get angry, no matter what happened. Can you do that? Never get angry, no matter what happened. And then you become beautiful. Initially, you can get unhappy for a while. Then you learn, I got a choice. Because I react, that's why I'm unhappy. Why must I have that state, mental state? Stupid, isn't it? I only need to accept him for what he is, or my loved one for what they are. Then I'm happy. Then I can feel for them why they are like that, why they say like that. It's not entirely their fault. You know? Circumstances cause it. Their karma cause it. So you need to know, because in the past, you did that to your parents. You know? This is coming. You know? Especially children, you listen. You tell your children next time so they become nicer to you. You do like that to your parents. Future life or condition, you will have a son that do that to you. Understand? A lot of children don't understand. But I saw this when I was young. Actually, that time I don't understand. Because my father was very, very like, he know I am very different, especially that he actually loved me a lot. But he didn't know how to express it. No. He did not tell me in front. No, no. Then I just do about my... Then every day, I will study until about 9 o'clock. Then there we sleep at 9 o'clock. Then he will make me a drink. No. Drink at night. No. And my character is very funny. You know. I don't want people to like purposely go and do it. Well, that time, about to sleep already, go and sleep. And so, no. But sometimes I study a bit more. Because the shop all closed, like always. Then they sleep. Then he will wake up and purposely make me a drink. That time I don't know. So, like normal putujana, react. Okay lah, okay. No need to do for me lah. Like that, please, don't do. Don't know how to appreciate someone. Ayo. Then later on, you know, Ivan, as I went through life, my son sometimes, once a while, did that to me. Daddy, okay, I know lah, don't go. If I want, I say I want. Don't want, don't want. Sometimes you go dinner, you take the food and give it to him. He also complained. No? He said, Daddy, I want, I take lah. You know, you cannot beg. It's like that. Then I saw my father. My father did that to my grandmother. He cannot beg from his first son. Well, my father is the first son. All these coming things you can see. You cannot run. You may think it's a joke, it's a lie. But I saw it in life. That's why when I was cultivating karma, keep on showing it to me. There was one period just before the Dhamma is being put to test. It keep on showing it to you until you know this mind suddenly inside say and understand. This is what law of karma is all about. I always use this Hokkien word, wo kao lu bo xiong xin. You will never, how to translate? Wo kao lu bo xiong xin. I'm totally person, in Cantonese. It's like that one, the law. You do like that, immediately pop, come back out. That time, immediate one, show it to me. Spontaneous one. No. And there is a lot of this instant example. That's why after that, I realized, only living being cannot understand. This law of karma cannot play play. You know what is play play? you think it's a joke, or play play. You violate, you gonna kau kau like Ajay say. Really, really. That was what the Dhamma is when it showed it to me. That few months, keep on arising. Immediately the intention arises, the condition come already, and things happen already for you to see. For good or for bad, understand? Then immediately it happened. Okay, the next one. So this evil root, when you are aware, mindful, heedful, you will see them, greed, hatred, delusion. Then you have to right effort, abandon them, root them out. Then prevent it from arising. Then go and cultivate the right effort to cultivate the wholesomeness and the goodness that you still do not have. Then when you already develop that, the fourth right effort is to refine upon it and perfect it. This is what the fourth right effort is all about. Then after that, the importance of arising the fourth. Already written there. Fourth right effort to root out the three evil roots and the five mental hindrance. So all this you can do. So to root out the five mental hindrance, you do it differently, understand? You cultivate the spiritual faculty. You don't go and deal with it one by one like greed, hatred, and delusion, understand? Because you don't go and fight greed, understand? You go and understand how come you are greedy, how come you are selfish. Then from the understanding, you free yourself, understand? How come hatred, evil root, you can hold on to it so tight? Because your wrong view, understand? Lack of understanding. That's why you have anger, hatred. So you have to reflect on that. Then the wisdom tell you, why should I hate that person? Understand? It's because of a situation or misunderstanding or relationship problem. That time you don't understand, the ego might react and the thought tell you, hey, that fellow, don't forgive him. He is too much. You must do the... And you believe the thought. Then you become entangled with what the thought tell you. Then the anger, the hatred, root of all evil inside. Then you become an evil person. Then if you reflect and contemplate and realize that, hey, brother Theo yesterday said true, if I forgive him, I don't hate him anymore. Means what? I free myself. Wow, like that also cannot remember, like that die already. How to cultivate that? If I forgive him, I will not hate him anymore. Means the anger, the hatred, the evil root is out. You free yourself. Clear now? This is how you reflect. Then you realize, hey, this is worth it. Then you can easily do it. Then you go and tell that person, especially if it's between your loved ones and you. Go and apologize. Sorry for what I have done, really. Or whatever happened, I think I have accepted the reality. I have come to understand that. No point behaving like before, getting angry with you and all those things. So you can say, now I forgive. And let's start over again. Once you say that, I think there is a lot of joy over the other side. But this was real happening when I was in Japan. They go through the Noble Eightfold Path workshop. One Indonesian lady, he hate the father like anything. The father was a very successful businessman, with a lot of wealth. That time they all live like very wealthy people. Then suddenly the currency crisis, 96-97, the father went bankrupt. Then during that time, he's supposed to go overseas and study, then he cannot go overseas and study. She hated the father and blamed the father and just fly off to Japan. Then he was in Japan on her own. Of course, got a little bit of money, but he worked very hard. Then he got a lot of suffering. So finally he attended this Noble Eightfold Path course workshop to help her out. Then during that course, because they used Noble Eightfold Path, sure, successful, she broke into tears and cried. When he was told about the evil root, then he realized the way he hate the father cause the evil root to be there and make her so miserable, so unhappy and so sad. So she determined to forgive, like what the Noble Eightfold Path said, forgive and free the hatred. Then she determined to call Indonesia, from the workshop. So immediately after he called, the father received the phone call, and when she said that, I'm very sorry that I shouldn't have said all those words, I shouldn't have hate you, because things is just beyond your control, economic crisis. You didn't purposely cause us this suffering, Anasana. So I got no reason to hate you. Wow, the moment the father heard that, she reported this later on the last day. And Japan, on video, TV, all over. That's why that religion become very famous. They use Noble Eightfold Path. So, she said the father jumped for joy, and the father was in tears. The father said, it's okay, it's okay. I'm very glad you called. I said, Papa miss you. You see, from such a negative state of hatred, and like both father and daughter suffer like anything, because of evil root misunderstanding. Then when you forgive, just one virtue only, forgive. Ask for forgiveness. The relationship became so beautiful. And she was full of joy too after that. And she happily go and report on the last day. And everybody just clap hands. Blah, blah, blah. Because that was a real success story. And she was so different after that. Everything that she bottled up, the hatred, the anger, you got nobody to talk to, nowhere to release, until during the Noble Eightfold Path workshop. This one is talk about happy signs, how to become happy. And they just use Noble Eightfold Path. That's why Noble Eightfold Path is very powerful. Okay, we go on. Yes. Okay. The first two right efforts deal with unwholesome thought, unwholesome speech, and unwholesome action and livelihood. So the Buddha says you should arise the right effort to abandon those wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action, and wrong livelihood that you have arisen. First is to abandon. Then the second one is the right effort to prevent it from arising. Means in future, because you already know, understand now, that these are wrong thought, you shouldn't arise. But habitual tendency is very difficult, that's why it will make you like react automatically. So you have to apply right effort to restrain, understand now, to prevent it from arising. That one they call yan. You know what yan or not? Patient. But not through suppression, understand now. Patient means want to get angry, but you know it's an evil root. You have to abandon it. Then you already work so hard with the right effort to abandon. So next time, you will have better understanding. No point getting angry. Then you can prevent it from arising. Where you see, upon seeing or upon hearing, inside want to react already, story. I still remember, my mindfulness immediately detect that habitual tendency. And the worst one was what? No, I always remember this one because I saw it happening. Because all the normal ones are rooted out. The worst one is when I was in the university. I think first year or second year, they sing this college song. You know, university college song. A lot of dirty song. And a lot of those very funny songs. And I do it with what they call Somanasa Sahagatang. So manasa sahagatang, nyana sambayutang, asang kalikang. All the three ingredients there, for highest merit, also there. But if you use the three highest merit ingredients for negative action and thing, also equally powerful. So manasa sahagatang is when you make offering, like the Malay word, sumua masa sahagatang. At all time you must be happy, Before you do, you happy. When you do, you also rejoice and happy. After you do, still happy. That one is you fulfill the criteria of Sumanasa Sahagatang. Understand? Not the one very excited before you offer, wow, very happy, a lot of joy. Then go there, want to offer. Then cannot offer because that monk don't want to accept for you. Or somebody take your food and offer, wow, you angry, unhappy. Like that, you finish. Then after offer already, still unhappy. Ayo, that monk didn't eat. Like that, your whole generosity go down the drain, I tell you. Because you cannot understand what is real merit. Then jnana sambayutang. Jnana is wisdom, understanding. You do with understanding, wisdom. Not because you want the merits. Understand not? If you do and look forward to merits, then there is a subtle selfishness there. Understand not? Without merit, you don't want to do. Means your motive behind the action is what? Greed, isn't it? You want to have merit. Have merit is also a desire, isn't it? But if you understand the nature's law, got condition to do, you just do. Or then, nature's law record. You don't need to worry whether it become merits or not. So if you do with understanding and sincerity, the merit is fantastic. Then, asangkalikang, spontaneous one. No need to be prompted one. So in the unit, also same. Before I do, before I sing the Koi song, a lot, very happy. Sing that time, lagi happy. After sing, lagi happy. And spontaneous some more. Then you know what happens? It becomes so strong inside. And later on, even after I graduate and work very long idea, sometimes when you meet classmates, they talk about it, wow, inside here the college song come out. Then I ask, hey, how come still can come out? Then what is this going on? Then I reflect and contemplate. And then I realize what happened. Because the habitual tendency was so strong. I need to silence my mind and go in and find out how come can still like that one. Because that time I haven't really rooted the whole thing out. Then I continue to investigate. I continue to go deep into the Dhamma investigation. I go deep into the consciousness. Then I start to understand what Krishnamurti mean by memory. Acting according to memory is not acting at all. Well, then this memory together with the what they call the habitual tendency, and together with the three ingredients, suhana, sasakata, jnana. So instead of jnana is delusion, then the other one is asangkalika. So these three are there. Then you some more do until it's like whole year you were doing it, so habitual. Because that time a lot of excitement. Never go to the uni before, never have this excitement, water fire and all those things. As a student, you do all those things. Then you learn. Then I realized, automatic come out. Then I start to understand what this means. And sometimes people, what they call, talk about engineering faculty, they got this engineer song. You ask Sriyan and Mipong, they know, very dirty. So, all this, you sing it until it's so strong inside. Then I realize, I cannot root it out if I just go the normal way. Then I develop the understanding through my own investigation. Then I investigate it. I say, all this is already strongly conditioned inside. I don't have to do anything. Understand? Arise. After that, if I don't give it any more fuel or energy, it stops. Understand? Well, the initial state when it arrives, ayo, die already. Come out again. So you thought you must not have this. Understand? Then only right meditation, a good meditation. Understand? Then I realize if I don't resist, I don't react, and I don't panic, I allow it to come up, it loses its power. Then after a while, loses its power more. Then after, don't know, three or four times, then I realize, cannot come out already. Never arise already. I want to sing, I can still sing. But there is a totally different understanding inside there. Because you allow it to come out, but you know no meaning. So it cannot come out. Like play mahjong, I told you, suddenly I stop playing mahjong. Not because people say, you spiritual, you cannot play mahjong. No. All of a sudden, I stopped. And I didn't even know why I stopped. I still very good in mahjong. I still very professional all the time. I just stopped like that. My classmate also don't believe. My friend also don't believe. So that is how I learned all this and understood all this. Then the habitual tendency, it only got power over you when you don't have understanding, when you don't have wisdom. Then it's like very exciting, very meaningful. You like to do. You train until you are so good at it, you know, like mahjong. No need to sikat. Ulut only you know really what. So you become like very expert in it. But that is a habitual tendency. But I don't have problem with gambling. Because I came across one Dhamma friend who asked me, actually I didn't know. End of the day, the husband actually gambled until lost a lot and caused a lot of family problem. Then she asked me the question, what you think about the gambling? Is it against the precept, right or wrong? That time I didn't know the background was the husband like that. I said, depend. If people understand what gambling is, and you do it with understanding, gambling is okay. Actually, I was about to relate my experience to you, but not everybody like that. All those who gamble actually face a lot of problems because they gamble until they become heedless. They lost so much money to go and borrow. Then they are in debt. The worst one is to borrow from loan shark and all those things. So this is why all this, there is no right, no wrong. The problem is not with gambling. Or like stock market, he asked me. Understand? Is it greed to invest in share? How you look at it? I ask you this question that they ask. Many people ask me, what do you remind here? You invest in share. Oh no, they didn't say you invest in share. You speculate in share. So I had to explain to them, what you mean by investment? Investment means, like any business, understand? You check your risk, what they call, risk against what? Reward profile, understand? Your risk profile. So having the understanding, then you make the decision to invest. I invest with understanding. If I invest with understanding, although there is a risk, but that understanding will mitigate the risk by a lot. Then you become very skillful and very good. You not only mitigate the risk, you are more or less very confident. 9 out of 10, you will make the right decision. Not only 9 out of 10, even 7 out of 10, you're already very good. So what happened is, I'm very good at investment. I'm very good at all these things. So I never lost money year to year for the last 30 over years. So investment is, you must not have greed. You must not have selfishness to manipulate the market, understand or not? To like create manipulation and like listed company. If the management integrity is not there, you cannot invest. We are this type of company. Accountant will tell you the accounts are all engineered. Accountant do engineering account. They engineer the account, then you deceive you and you buy. This is very bad. This is to deceive with evil intention, selfish, manipulate to gain from it. All this is selfishness. So if you invest with understanding, means you are very sincere. You know there is a capital market designed to raise capital from the public. Then this company is listed and they got their financial report, everything, annual report. And you can actually find out quite a bit of things from there. Then what business they do, all those things. So you have to put in the appropriate effort to study them. Then only you can make good decisions. So if you invest properly without all this greed to listen to rumor and chase stock, then the greed will condition you to buy high, because when market confident, you also confident, so you buy. Then market reverse, collapse at time or fall, you panic. Out of fear, you sell. That's why you buy high, sell low. You do the opposite. To make money is so simple. Buy low, sell high. Tun Xiuxin's advice. But seldom people can do that, understand? So life, you need to really understand. Then gambling, if it's like among classmates for fun, you don't go and overdo it. Then for relaxation, we have people need relaxation as well. Even Lee Kuan Yew talk about it. As he grow old, his cat got this one. Alzheimer. He said, playing mahjong is good, he said. He mentioned it. It stimulates your thinking, understand? Your memory, you know, thing. Okay, we finish with that. The fourth right effort, the third one, sorry. After you prevent, you have the third right effort. Third right effort is to cultivate the wholesomeness, the goodness, the virtue that is still not in you. Like you are not a person who is generous, you should develop more right effort to become more generous through understanding. Then if you are not a person who like very kind, very gentle, you learn to be very kind, very gentle, and very pleasant as well. Then if you don't have contentment, you learn to have contentment. You become more peaceful, more satisfied, understand? Then you learn to have gratitude and respect for people. Now these are all virtue. Then you learn to have integrity, sincerity, learn to be a responsible father, responsible parent, responsible citizen. Yeah. So all these are integrity, virtue, goodness, kindness. So right effort to continuously build all this up or cultivate all this. Then the fourth right effort is, after you have cultivated it, you have to refine upon it and perfect it, like a perfection. Okay? Those are the four right effort. Okay, the last one is the importance of cultivation. Sorry, it should be cultivating. The importance of cultivating the five spiritual faculty to overcome the five hindrances of mind. So no need to handle the hindrance, just cultivate the opposite five. Then the note, Under Kaya Nupasana, there is a category of cultivation called Sati Sampajana. This is the daily mindfulness. Mindfulness and the four types of clear comprehension. First one is, mindfulness and the four types of clear comprehension of every action and movement in the present moment. This is what my teacher Ajayendra taught me, the highest meditation. This is the most important cultivation needed to stabilize one's sati or mindfulness via the daily mindfulness cultivation. Hence reason why Brahmacharya always say, life itself is the real meditation. And life is our true teacher, understand? You encounter those people who are very nasty or very difficult, they can be your true teacher. So it's a blessing in disguise, understand? You should thank them. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to cultivate my Dhamma instead of getting angry with them. The next one is the four types of clear comprehension. First one is sincerity of purpose. Then clear comprehension of domain of meditation. Then clear comprehension of suitability. And clear comprehension of non-delusion. You know what these four things are? The explanation is given down there, The domain of meditation means one can meditate in any posture, anywhere, any place, and any time, under any circumstances. So you cannot like simply give reason, I got no time lah, wait till I retire lah, and all those things. Then this place noisy lah, not conducive lah. Like Brother Hung say, it's not the place, it's inside your mind. So all this, you have to know, if you determine to cultivate, even in the midst of career, you can cultivate. Having family, children, you can cultivate. Because meditation is about daily mindfulness, not about posture, not about place, time, and condition. It's about how you develop that heedfulness. Then the fourth one, any external form, this one is the external form, that is created by mind via your perception or sanya, is only an image. Just now I already tried to explain to you. It come and it go, hence it's impermanent, not so real and empty. To cling onto it is obviously a delusion. Form is never a problem if we know how to use the mind without any attachment and delusion. Understand? So like a lot of people didn't get things right. He said money is a source of evil. Money is a type of form. You know. It's not the form, it's not the money. It's the user of money. That's why you cannot blame all these things. Because you yourself deluded, you create negativity. That's why money become evil. But if you have wholesome wisdom, money become wholesome. Okay, the next one is the Buddha's three turning of the Four Noble Truths. This one very important, leading to the three type of corresponding wisdom: Suttamaya Panya, Cintamaya Panya, and Bhavanamaya Panya. For detail, refer to my email compilation note. There is this email compilation note, Understanding the Meditation as Taught by the Buddha. That was the very first copy we did, the year 2006, I think, or 7, I forgot already. Okay, we finish, 3 o'clock, exactly. So you can have your meditation, 3 to 4.30. So I tell you what, if you want to shorten your meditation so that the Q&A can have more time, maybe meditation you do only 1 hour, Okay? No need to do so long. I saw a lot of you all cannot sit. You can do your contemplation, walking, bowing, all those things up to you. But 1 hour, do it properly. So that will benefit you. I feel that 1.5 hour, you all cannot go through the whole thing. Only some of them. But after this, the silent retreat, that time you had to sit. I don't talk already. I also silent. Okay? So now you can do your meditation. Then we meet again at 4 o'clock. Not 4.30. Don't go too far. A lot of you went up the hill. Then thinking 4.30. Okay.